You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Joins us in Shogger. You tweeted out earlier today that Jake DeBrusk, through his agent Rick Vallette, they have asked the Boston Bruins for a trade. He'll stay with the team until they facilitate this. And this is, like, I've heard, you know, him and his coach necessarily haven't been on the same page for a few years. I think maybe enough's enough for probably both parties. Do you see a trade happening quickly?
No, I mean, listen, I think that it's probably something that's, you know, the tension has probably been there for a little while, and it's probably something that they've looked at. I don't know if this turns up the pressure, if they can find something right away. Maybe. You know, maybe it does. The thing with DeBrusk is he's got a qualifying offer at the end of the year that's pretty substantial. He's playing this season. I mean, this organization went out and got Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno. I mean, Jake DeBrusk, and they've already got Patrice or Brad Marchand, by the way. So pretty deep on the wing, I would say. And it felt like the writing was on the wall for Jake to maybe be moved in the offseason when all that happened, but it hasn't happened. And so healthy scratch the other day, coach pretty public in his criticisms of his game. You know, he's got 4 points fewer than Taylor Hall this season. And if you look at his goal scoring or, you know, the couple of seasons ago, I mean, he was on pace. I think he was on pace for 32 or 33 the 1 year, 24 or 25 the other. This guy can score. But clearly it's gone sour in Boston, and the confidence hasn't been there. And it is one of those fresh start needed. And I think teams would look at, you know, maybe a guy like Sam Bennett or, you know, somebody like that, where a change of scenery for a guy that was a pretty high draft pick maybe can get something going. But the qualifying offer, I think, could be problematic at times.
Well, see, you know what? I'm going to disagree a little bit with qualifying offer, because the last few summers, there's lots of guys that didn't take their qualifying offer, went to free agency and got way less. So I think there's a real learning curve here for some teams. Unless Jake DeBrusk come back and lights it up, he's going to realize, well, yeah, I'm not getting $4.825 million. So I could go to free agency, but how much less am I going to get in free agency? So if when he gets traded to a new team and if he's comfortable there, I could see a contract being hammered out before that doesn't start with a 4.85.
Absolutely, that's possible, for sure. But if you're a team trading for him and giving up assets for him, you're still potentially losing him if he doesn't take his QO. Because if he doesn't take his, you know, or not that if he doesn't take it, sorry. If you're not comfortable qualifying him at that, then he has the potential to shop the entire market. Now you've spent assets. So I agree with you. I think that, you know, look, good young player, 30-goal potential player, you know, and a good kid too. Like I know Jake a little bit, and he's a well-liked kid. So checks a lot of boxes, hasn't gone well there. And, yeah, you know, a fresh start, I think, would do him some good. And sometimes it just doesn't work between, you know, a player and an organization, whether it's the coach or whatever the situation. But, I mean, you know, my belief is Jake loves Boston, and I know he loves his teammates and all that. I don't think it's anything to do with the city or the, you know, the players in the room. Just sometimes it doesn't work between a guy and an organization, and I think they're hoping to move on. But you got to go find that trade, and we'll see if the Bruins can get it done.
Joined by Ryan Rashog from TSN, talking all things NHL here on the Jason Greger Show on TSN 1260. Shogger, from, you know, a reasonable distance, I feel like what's going on with the Canucks right now is a difficult thing to understand. You know, there's been no endorsement of anybody by the ownership. You hear rumors from insiders that no one's in a hurry to make any deals, or sorry, to make any changes. But it's just kind of dragging out. You know, it's kind of like a bad breakup where, you know, the partner knows they don't want to be with them, but they're not really saying anything, and yet they're kind of seeing somebody else. Like, am I too emotional when I look at this, or is this, they have been kind of playing better, they waiting to dig out, or like, how do you read the situation of the Canucks, and they're just a complete nightmare of a season so far?
Yeah, complete nightmare of a season for certain. I guess, you know, what I'd say is, do you think that the Vancouver Canucks, if they made a change right now, do you think they believe that a change right now means they could push and potentially make the playoffs? I mean,
No, their season's over. Like, they, right. No, no, I, sh- Right. Real, so from an outsider, that. Yes. Right. Do they know it? I don't know. Fair question.
Right. We know that. Chances are they probably know that too. And so I think sometimes, there's this critical mass that these situations hit, and everybody says this has to happen, this has to happen. And it likely will. But, I mean, if you're the Canucks and you're trying to figure out what comes next and you want to make these changes, you also have to ask yourself, what is salvageable this year? What is a realistic expectation from now until the end of this year? How will this group react to the disappointment in missing? And whatever change you're going to make, I would suggest it's absolutely critical that it get made properly. Not because, well, you want to salvage the playoffs, but I think you want to make changes and you want to be thorough and make the right changes. And maybe it's just taking them a long time to figure out what those right changes are. Maybe they were caught off guard somewhat by this, and maybe they're hesitating or don't know exactly what the exact right change is. If you aren't positive what the right change is, why would you rush it at this point? All it is noise that's happening all around you, and it doesn't change anything as far as their playoff chances go. We all know they're done. Why not wait until you know you've got exactly the right situation to put in place? Maybe they're just not there yet. That would be my guess on why the time is being taken.
I try to watch a lot of Travis Green's press conferences, especially post game, and it looks like a man that just, you know, he knows he's at the end, or maybe he's at the end. Like, it just, you know, maybe because I know him and, you know, he's a bit of a friend, I feel badly for him, because it's just feel like he's just there, and there's really, you know, he's trying different things and players aren't responding to it, or the players can't do whatever it is. Like, I just think it's a very untenable situation. I everything you said makes sense, though, Shagard. I completely get it, but I think there's like a mercy rule here at some point where you got to just tap and say, okay, let's just, you know what, we'll just take, and whether he's at fault or not, you say, okay, we're going to take him out, we're going to put a new guy in, like maybe assistant coach takes over for
an interim, right? Just an interim guy in there.
Just give the guy a break, but you know, whatever, he's still making his money, so he's fine. Let's turn back closer to the to our own hometown here of Edmonton with Ryan Rashog from TSN. When you look at the game the other night, I saw something I want to see is tight, you know, protecting the goal with a, let's call it 3 minutes left, when Vegas pulled their goalie around, it was a little bit less than that, but let's just call it 3 minutes. And when the Oilers, I don't believe, let a shot in from inside the dots.
Yeah.
And you know, is that, you know, that's what I'm looking for. What do you want to see? Like, what
progress
do you want to see the Oilers work on over the next, you know, 60 games as they move to the playoffs, is like locking things down. That's, I want to see tight games. I don't need to see the 5-0. Give me 3-2 every night so they get battle tested.
Yeah. So I think, it's a great point, being able to lock things down late in a game, so you're protecting a lead. What kind of hockey can you play, right? Can the coach look at his group and say, okay, you know what you need, go out and do it, and have the team be able to be reliable in that way? And that was a step towards that. I think the Oilers have been good in some instances protecting leads this year, and I think they're developing that, you know, from within here a little bit this year. They're using some different players in these situations, and I think it's gone really well. The other part I would add to that study, that maybe it's not as important as protecting a lead, but how about this? Start a game.
Yeah.
Really well.
Good one.
Like, carry, play, and dominate for the first 4 or 5 minutes. How about you catch another team off guard once? The way you start games and the way you finish games can make a huge difference to, you know, how the night ends up going. So I completely agree with you on the finish, and I'd like to see them focus a little more on the starts. I mean, you got, you know, chance, like 5-star chances being given up in the first couple shifts of games, and just mistakes happening, and it's like, whoa. You gotta start on time. I mean, they've given up the first goal way too often in the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks here. The quality of play, I think they need to find it earlier in games and not have to back their way into it.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Dave Tippett, Connor, do you have the quote from Tippett on Puljujärvi?
I heard it. Yeah, it was a really good. It was a good question. It was great.
Yeah, here's his comment when I asked him about, you know, the decision on why he was moving Puljujärvi with Cassian.
I talked to Jesse. You know what? Jesse's a really good player. He's an upper echelon player. He's not a young player anymore. He's coming into, but he can drive. Like we talk about McDavid driving his own line. We talk about Drysdale driving his own line. Jesse can drive a line. And the way Mac's playing right now, I talked to Jesse about this, is take some leadership role and see if we can drive a third line, see if we can get a more balance to it. And I love the way Jesse played the other night. He played fast. He went to the net, created, you know, had a nice goal on a breakaway, but it was more than that. The line was a factor in the game. So Jesse's not just a compliment player. He's a driver. And everything that we do stats-wise backs that up. So why not try to use him more as a driver rather than a compliment player? And that's what we're trying. Whether it stays that way, we'll see. You know, maybe somebody else steps into the driver's seat of that line. That happens, right? But right now, we're trying to find that balance.
That, I mean, not to jump over top of you, but this is what I said last week. Like, you have to understand sometimes, coaches, it's not a punishment. They're not saying we want to get, well, this guy's got to get off the line, but it you know, when you're playing with 97 or 29 or both, you're not going to be carrying the puck too much. And it's not that those guys are going to say don't carry it, but you're going to want to defer and give it to them. When he's on a line where he's more the feature player, Shauger, yeah, he's going to grow and spread his wings. And the more players that can spread their wings, the better the Oilers are. And it's, we get so short, some get so short-sighted when they don't see that.
Well, I think back to, you know, when Drysdale and McDavid were playing together in the early years there, and how, you know, Drysdale was challenged, be the best player on your line every night, right? The reason Drysdale was challenged to do that was because people sensed he was capable of it. Playing on a line with Connor McDavid, he could still be the best player on any given night. So this is Dave Tippett, you know, pushing a button and pulling a lever. This is some coach. He's coaching Jesse up here a little bit, and I really like it. So asking Puljujarvi to be the best player on his line every night, it's not happening. It's not a realistic ask, and you wouldn't necessarily put that into his head. Telling Jesse, you can drive a line, and a third line on this team would be absolutely critical. He absolutely has the ability to drive a third line, without question. And so you get Ryan McLeod, who's playing some good minutes, young guy. You get Jesse Puljujarvi, who's energetic, skating fast. And you challenge them to make a difference. You empower these young players to make a difference. You know, Puljujarvi by saying, you drive this line. McLeod by saying, you belong here. Show us you belong here. You're on a third line. I think the coach is coaching these guys up, and I think it's great.
Shauger, we will talk to you tomorrow. Have yourself a good night.
All right. See you guys.